short prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are present, and we pray that you would be working in our midst in these coming minutes, that you be glorified. Amen. Amen. So the passage of scripture we heard today is one of my favourite passages of scripture. I often use it at our prayer meeting on a Thursday morning. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul writes to counter heresy, false teaching. The exact nature of it is perhaps not identifiable, though clearly by the way he writes, we learn characteristics of this false teaching. In the opening verses of our passage from today, Paul refutes the notion that Jesus is anything less than he is. And I have to say, doesn't Paul rise to the challenge? It is a truly remarkable piece of literature, these verses. Clearly, nowhere near as remarkable as the man he's talking about. Our church weekend, we studied this letter, didn't we? And our speaker described this as the hilt, the mountaintop of Colossians, and one of the mountaintops of the whole of the New Testament. And he's absolutely right. As we go through the passage, please hold in mind, who is Jesus? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the exact visible representation of God, the invisible God of the Old Testament now made visible. Remarkable. To say that he is the firstborn over all creation does not mean he was created. It stipulates rank. He is supreme over all creation. Verse 16. Supreme because all of creation was made by Jesus. Everything in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, everything was created through him and for him. Jesus is the end for which all things exist, the goal towards whom all things were intended to move. We were created to serve his will, to contribute to his glory. Some of you will know I am fond of quoting the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the first question? The first question is, what is the chief end of man? The answer, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Verse 17, he existed before all creation, and now he sustains all creation. He keeps it going. He sustains you. Through his death and resurrection, firstborn from the dead, he has created the church of which he is the head. So he is first place in everything. Verse 19. In Jesus, again we hear, in Jesus we see God in his entirety. Jesus is both fully human and fully God. And I find this remarkable. He is glorious in his splendor, majesty, the creator of all, supreme, and yet he chooses the cross. He chooses the cross. He sheds his blood that we might be reconciled to God. Jesus died so that you might be reconciled to God, so that you might be forgiven, know peace with God. Have you been reconciled to God? Are you convinced you've been reconciled to God? Be sure. verses 21, 22. At one time, we were alienated to God. Now we have been reconciled through his death. He died to present you as holy before God on judgment day, without blemish, without imperfection, blameless before him. Jesus died so that you could stand before him, for he is both your redeemer and your judge. It's absolutely remarkable. The gospel made in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be slightly controversial now, and some of you may not agree with me. You will be presented as holy if you remain grounded and steadfast in your faith. Some Christians believe once saved, always saved. I'm not so sure. I think you can lose your salvation. God won't take it away. Satan won't take it away. He's powerless. The world won't take it away. But you can. You have been given the greatest gift possible, faith in Jesus Christ. Treasure it. Look after it. To have faith in Jesus Christ is absolutely such a blessing. There are many people out there who do not know what it is to believe in Jesus Christ. Do not take it lightly that you have faith in Jesus Christ. If you take nothing else away today, take that away. That you have faith is so special. Which begs the question, how do we treasure our faith in Jesus Christ? And this answer is not going to surprise you one iota. Well, our faith is in Jesus, so we must make time for Jesus through prayer, through the Word, through meditating on the Word, through worship of God, through meeting other Christians. And we must take our reverence of the Lord seriously. He is Lord. We look to obey Jesus Christ. Do that and you will be living, growing your faith, and you will be living for him, which is what you were created to do. And then 24, 27, Paul, this great ambassador of the faith, tells us something of his suffering, his commission to make God fully known amongst the Gentiles. And Paul didn't just want to present people to Christ as saved, he wanted to present people to Christ fully mature. Our vision as a church is a community prepared to meet the Christ, and our mission, if you like, to get there is to worship God, grow believers, and make believers. I'm not comparing myself to him too much, but like the great Apostle Paul, I am not satisfied with people becoming believers. I want to see people grow. I want to see people become more like Jesus Christ. You're going to meet Jesus Christ. Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ? Doesn't that fill you with, if you think about it, fills me with a degree of fear, if I'm honest, a degree of joy as well. But are you preparing for it or just living for today? Let me ask you a question. Are you maturing as a Christian? Do you even think it is important to mature as a Christian? There are Christians who take seriously their walk with God. They grow up mature. They become like Christ. There are others who don't. And I'm not going to say that these people are not saved, but I will say this, they're not much use to the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And who wants to stay immature? Who wants their children to stay immature? We want people to grow up, don't we? There's so much more. I'm fond of quoting Wayne Grudem, aren't I? As you know, his definition on the same theme, sanctification is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. God and man, God and woman. Your sanctification, your becoming like Christ, is a work of the Holy Spirit, but it requires our cooperation. He will not work against our wills. Holy Spirit, living, breathing in you, you cooperating with your will. So how do we become more like Christ? Well, we make time for Jesus, don't we? How do we do this? I've already told you. Through prayer, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, through worship of God, meeting with other Christians, reverence of Jesus, taking his lordship seriously, we look to obey him. Our Saviour is magnificent, isn't he? He is awesome, supreme, and yet I know him as my brother, sister. No, well, your sisters. Jesus created me. Jesus reconciled me to God through his own blood so that I might stand before him as holy. I was created for him, meaning that I was created to glorify him. This I intend to do in increasing measure, knowing that I'm not there yet. And I hope you will too. I'm going to put this prayer on the PowerPoint, and I'm going to give you a few seconds to look at it. And if you want to say that with me, if you want to live for the glory of God, I'm not saying you're not already, but if you want to commit to that today, then I would invite you to stand now and we'll pray it together. Jesus Christ, we recognize that you created us and that you redeemed us at the cross. We know that your love for us is absolute. We recognize that you created us for your glory. We want to live for your glory. We commit to this. Help us to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you all.